This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The answer.
This segment's brought to you by Black Forest Motorsports. 8066 Engineer Road. If you've got a BMW, Mini, or a Porsche, and you just want normal service, they got it. You want to go fast? They can definitely do that. Over 40 years experience. Check them out at blackforestautomotive.com. Well, we got lovely Brittany in the house.
Hi, Dave.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day to you and Brendan and the listeners.
And everybody out there in the world.
Yeah.
And who do you have as your special guest since you've been so excited bouncing around like a little kid in a candy store?
If I may, for a moment, can I give a shout out to our listeners in Texas?
Oh, of course.
Yes, we have a few extra listeners from Texas. I hope you're weathering the storm and making the best of the situation.
It's
pretty,
snowy.
Yeah. With that said, our guest is calling from Texas, and he is an avid motorcycle collector and rider.
Uh-huh.
I think he would agree that vintage motorcycles should not simply sit there and collect dust and rust, but rather be ridden to their fullest potential.
Exactly. Yeah.
So please welcome Richard Asprey.
Hey, Richard, how you doing, buddy? Oops. Wow, that was such a great lead-in. Okay, Brendan's over there banging on the phone, so he'll get him.
Do we have Richard?
Hey, Dave. Can you hear me?
There he is.
He's taking time from his friends and family. I know they're having a Valentine's.
He got that squirrel to take off and run like hell inside that little basket there. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Dave.
Man, I seen some pictures that Brittany showed me of your collection.
That Bev sent me, so he may not know what we've seen on our end.
Oh, my gosh. And before
I have no idea.
Well, that's okay. But before we get started, let me guess. Did you know Dale Waxley?
I have met him and know him, but not well.
Yeah, he passed away, I think, last week.
Exactly. Yes.
This is not a good way to start an interview,
no,
Dave.
But if he knows Dale, because Dale's got the Wheels Through Time Museum, I have not been there. It's been on my bucket list. Have you been back to it yet?
Actually, we were going to go. We're still going, we hope. This July, we're doing an antique motorcycle ride around Asheville, North Carolina.
There you go.
And every year, we do a ride. I'm the president of the Texas Norton Club, and we've been connected up with the Southern California Norton Club for some years. So every year, we do what we call an epic ride, and this year, it's going to be around the Carolinas, ending up in Birmingham, Alabama, at the racetrack there.
I just bought a vintage Norton motorcycle photograph, 11x14.
Oh, photograph.
Yeah, well, I can't afford a Norton.
Like, what?
Are you kidding?
Dave, you didn't tell me.
On my income, and it's my prized possession. And the look on this guy's face, it looks like it's about a 1920, 21. I'm not 100% sure. And it's a board track racer, and that picture just amazes me what they were able to do with a motorcycle back in the day.
Well, one of my favorites is my 1915 Norton flat tank, and that's the one that I think excited Brittany.
Yes. Tell us where you wrote it.
Well, I've ridden it on two cannonball trips, coast to coast. So
really?
I rode it from Atlantic City to Carlsbad, California in 2016. And in 2018, we took it on a race with 110 other 100-year-old bikes from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon.
Unbelievable.
So with the cannonball, am I correct where it has to be 1929 or older, what you ride?
Yeah, I take part in the 100-year-old bike or more, you know. So, but, yeah, it's got different classes. And, you know, I like to do the 100-year-old. Seems like a bit of a challenge.
You think?
Yeah.
A bit of a challenge.
You know, the interesting thing is they have a great route for us planned out. We're not allowed to use GPS. You know, we have a paper scroll in front of us with the turns. And on that trip, Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon, we did 3,400 miles, but only 11 miles on a highway. Everything was back road.
You mean to tell me you don't have GPS on a Norton? I would just turn that bike back in.
Old school.
Oh, that is so. But you know what? It's funny you should say that. I was back in Detroit, and I was at the Dodge Museum, and they were letting us drive all of the cars that were in the museum except the 1915 Dodge Brothers four-door Touring. But the curator was driving, and we were going for a ride. So as soon as we got in, I said, okay, let's go to San Francisco. And he looked at me and says, what are you, crazy? I says, no, you're crazy. They used to do that all the time, right?
Yeah. All the time.
It wasn't even up for discussion. It's like, all right, let's go. Virtually no gas stations to speak of, except you go to the farmhouse, you know, to pick up fuel. And they back then, you were spending up to $7 a gallon because that farmer didn't want to let go of the fuel for his implements.
Yeah.
It was really tough back then. But, you know, it was a pleasure to, in 2016, it was a pleasure to take a 100-year-old bike across the country, which I don't think a 100-year-old machine had been across the country at that time.
No.
So that was fun.
And let me get personal. How old are you?
I'll be 60 in June.
See? Climbs on a 100-year-old motorcycle. And, you know, I have a sneaky feeling you're one of these kind of guys like me that you – how old do you think you would be if you didn't know how old you were today?
I'd have to think about that for a little while.
You're 18. I know you're 18 in your head. It's your body just isn't there anymore. But I'm
perfectly honest. I didn't think I'd make 25. So every day's a blessing.
You and me both. If you look at my email, it states that you know when I go, I'm going to go all burned up, tore up, and slide in yelling, "What a hell of a ride!" Because that's what life's all about.
My favorite is Hunter S. Thompson. When I'm on my Vincent, I think about his line all the time. Go faster and faster until the thrill of speed outweighs the fear of death.
I like that.
Nice one.
You have a Vincent? How many bikes do you have?
Over 200 old vintage bikes.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, I'm looking at this picture here, and Bev had written, all original parts, you would be in heaven. And she sent a picture of a Vincent, but I can't tell. Black shadow. I don't know. It's all black. It just says Vincent made in England.
Well, it's actually a black shadow, but every part internally and externally, wheels are all new old stock.
Whoa.
Vincent Lightning part. So it's a special that we're completing right now.
Nice. Whoa. So is it safe to say you would always bet on a Vincent or a Norton over a Harley or an Indian?
Oh.
Or as my family calls them, Hardleys?
You know, I have to tell you, riding in the cannonball ride,
yes.
You know, Harleys and Indians were fast. They were agile. You know, they were tough to beat back in the day on the board track, and on the road, seeing them go right past me on my Norton, they're beautiful machines. You know,
I totally agree.
And
all right,
all motorcycles are good.
So, has Barona called in? All right, so it doesn't look like our next guest has called in as yet. You want to hang with us for a little bit?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break because you're all listening to Racer Radio with Dave and Brittany on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer. Sam, won't you ever learn?
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment's brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Go to ElCajonMotors.com for new and used. Did you know 80% of their inventory for used is trade-ins? They don't go to the auction and get cars. They send cars to the auction. And they support Barona's Speedway. And I just was chatting. Dirt Dude called in, but I'm sure he's probably watching the rained out Daytona 500. So I told him to go ahead and take a break, and because we're talking with Richard Asbury, and who has a small collection of motorcycles.
Yeah, only a couple hundred.
And we want to give a shout out to your girlfriend.
Sally and Bev and Barb, and thank you, Richard.
They're in Richard's barn.
Hospitality.
Well, he's in Texas.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in Texas. You get hospitality.
Yes.
So you had a couple of questions you wanted to ask Richard.
I have a million, but I whittled it down.
To a half a million.
And I don't mean to be a stalker here, Richard. I have questions. Do you have any interest and or ties to Bonneville?
I've got a bike prepared for Bonneville, which is a 750cc. It'll be in the 750cc Pushrod class, an old Triumph Triton. And then I go out there with a mate of mine, and I've been to the Bolivia Salt Flats with him. That's Al Lamb. He's trying to break 300 miles an hour on a motorcycle, sit-on motorcycle.
Wow.
So we do quite a bit of that. And then the shop that... your friends were in yesterday, Bev and Sally and Co. Big D Cycle has been very involved with Bonneville over the years. And in fact, back in 1956, they were involved in creating the Texas Seaguar, which broke the land speed record for a motorcycle at Bonneville. And in 1957, Triumph named their bike the Bonneville. After their thing. So the shop's still going, still restoring motorcycles. And in fact, on the Cannonball this year, we'll have four flat tank Nortons, all of which have been prepared by Big D. And when we take them on the road, it's a race team. You know, we've got a full tech shop in our trailer, and we work on them every night. It's an interesting thing to see. So people can see that by looking up Motorcycle Cannonball and stop on in at our stops across the country.
Yeah.
So do you have a museum at your location, or is this just your own private private collection?
It's my own private location, but we have, I keep about 100 bikes in the house at any one time. They're all ready for a long trip.
Wow.
And, you know, I have kind of motorcycle racers and enthusiasts drop in from time to time from around the world. And, you know, we have a drink every Friday night with our drinking club, which is called the Peckerhead Motorcycle Racing Club. So, you know, it's just a private thing.
You have 100 motorcycles in your house.
Yes.
That's why Bev said I'd be in heaven if I was there.
Oh, I'm in heaven.
I know. Are we going to take a cruise to Texas?
We are taking a cruise to Texas. I am here to...
It's funny because I talked to Richard briefly yesterday, and I told him about Moto Dofo, the winery.
Yeah.
It just kind of reminded me of that.
Oh, absolutely. But then I also hear your choice is vodka.
Wow. Well, it is these days.
I wasn't going
to
say lose
100 pounds, so I gave up beer, you know.
Ah,
I've been
man, have to buy
too much beer every day.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you and I are definitely buddies.
He's our people.
You're my, same with Brittany as well. So let me ask you this. When you're working on a Norton, you're working on a Vincent, you're working on a Henderson.
Yeah. Oh.
Where do you get parts?
eBay.
Really?
So there are still parts and pieces out there, right?
Wow.
You know, I'm kind of kidding, but, you know, eBay's certainly been, over the last 20 years, the thing that's kept some of our bikes alive. You know, being able to find parts in Germany, Australia, all over the place, you know, Russia. I mean, just fantastic. So, but then... you know, we still have the ability to hunt down parts. I've got friends in the UK that look for things for me at swap meet.
Sure.
And then if we really, really, really get stuck, we'll make them, you know.
Well, I collect radios, vintage radios. In fact, I'm going to pick up one on Monday. And for some reason, the knobs are always missing. So, but I bought this one radio. It's a Crosley with the record player and a whole bit. And the knobs were missing. $68 for a set of knobs. So
right.
They're out there. You know, you're not going to get a deal. But if you want new old stock, you just got to be prepared to pay for it.
You know, if anyone's listening, we're looking for a magneto for the Lightning. And I did find one, but the gentleman wants $15,000 for a magneto.
Sure he does.
Yeah.
Sure he does. And he's going to sit on that magneto for a while, but then all of a sudden, somebody's going to come up and give him the money that he wants.
You never know. In 3 years' time, it might be me.
Yeah. Well, you get to a point. See, you're like me. If I want something and I can't afford it, I won't leave the guy alone. We'll become best of friends. I don't get mad. I just don't go away until I get what I want.
I think I'm just going to get friendly with his wife and wait for him to pass away.
Oh, now there you go. I like the way this guy thinks.
Know. I told you he's one of our people.
I know. He is definitely one of our people. So, does Big D work on your bikes or do you work on them?
You know, I work on them when I'm riding and when I'm prepping for a trip.
Gotcha.
But it's a lot of bikes.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we keep them all in road going order.
Wow.
And they're all settled for long distance trips. And, you know, it's nice to have the mechanics of Big D as friends.
Sure.
Who work on a lot of my bikes. Absolutely.
A lot.
So what do you do to a bike for a long term? I mean, what do you do to a bike for a long trip short of just a normal everyday riding around town? What are some of the things that you have to really concentrate on when you plan to take this thing across country?
Oh, it's every nut and bolt and fettling, and normally we'll take it for, you know, 100-mile test rides at least 4 or 5 times before we believe it's ready for a long trip. You know, these are old British bikes. Most of the parts are in the ditch, you know. So,
what do you do about fuel? Because I'm sure our fuel is not compatible to a 100-year-old motorcycle.
You know, none of the fuel really is, unfortunately. In Texas, we're loaded up with ethanol, so we keep race gas in the mall. Non-ethanol, unfortunately, the stuff we get is a little high on octane because these bikes were designed for a lower octane fuel. So we just tune them accordingly.
Okay.
But we keep non-ethanol. We use a vintage fuel from BP that's good for storage for about 2 years.
Right.
And, you know, then you can go right back to it, kick it, fires right back up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I had a bout because I'm in California with fuel for my generator, my lawnmower, and all that. So I ended up buying, I can't remember what they call it. You get it at Home Depot. I mean, it's like $14 a gallon. But, you know, it's the only thing I found that if I let any of this equipment sit for any length of time, it'll start right back up again.
Right. And I do exactly the same with all my lawnmowers.
Yeah. And it kills you to have to pay the price, but what are you going to do? I mean, you know, the state of California is not going to change their fuel capacity. So anything else you collect besides motorcycles? Do you collect gear like helmets, you know, driving jackets, gauntlets, those types of things?
Nope. If it doesn't make a noise and it doesn't go down the road, don't collect it.
But, you know, I don't know if this was your collection or not, but I did see an Aprilia and a Ducati. Are those part of yours? Are you outside of the English motorcycle?
Oh, no, sure. You know, although I ride old bikes, I also ride modern bikes. So my go-to bike right now is the BMW S1000 XR.
Oh,
And, you know, I've got KTMs, I've got Yamahas, Suzukis, Hondas, but predominantly British sort of 60s, 50s motorcycles. Right.
Well, being that, what do you think of the new Triumph line that's came out? And the new, the Triumph line. There was another British line that they're bringing back, too.
Yeah, what else is coming back? I saw that recently. Yeah. But, you know, Triumph is great. It's just, and, you know, a lot of my friends ride the Explorers and stuff. I mean, right. We do a lot of long distance riding to find twisty roads. So, you know, for us, the dual sports have become the, and we're old, right? So, right. You know. We're not on the crotch rockets anymore. We're on we're on fast dual sports. But for me, the BMW is the best one I've ridden. I love it to death.
Yeah.
My dad's been seeking twisty roads my entire life. That's why I laugh when he said it. Yep.
If you ever come to San Diego, can we show you some twisty roads? One of them is from Escondido up Palomar Mountain.
We've done Palomar Mountain quite a few times.
Sunrise
Highway is another good one. We do have some really good back roads out here.
Fantastic. Oh, you've got better roads than we have for sure.
Exactly.
The only roads that even compare or maybe even are certainly worth your listeners going to check out is Arkansas. We love Arkansas.
Oh, really?
The roads there are fantastic.
Yeah. What about Tail of the Dragon?
You know, I haven't actually ridden Tail of the Dragon. I'm doing that this year. We're going to go and spend a couple of nights in Asheville, North Carolina.
You rascal.
We've got 45 vintage British motorcycles going, mostly Vincents, Nortons, and Triumphs.
Wow.
And, you know, and then we're doing a five-day trip towards Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
Do you know what you're riding yet? Have you already gone out to the garage and picked her out?
He can't decide. He's got to take a bunch of them. He can't just take one.
No, I'm going to take a couple of them.
See? I know how this guy rolls.
But I'll be taking my Vincent White Shadow for sure. That's the go-to bike for me. And I'll be taking a 1979 Triumph Bonneville, which got tricked out by Big D in 1982, and is a fabulous machine. It's a very, very powerful 1979 Bonneville. And then I might even take my Honda CBX, which I have a CBX Cafe Racer, which I quite enjoy.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
Do you have go-to motorcycles? Do you have go-to riding buddies? I know my dad does.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, in the club here, we have close to 300 members, and we do a couple of rides each year. So I've been lucky enough to be involved with that since I arrived in America in 2000. And, you know, there's a lot of guys in that club I ride with. It's been fabulous for me. This whole experience of coming to America has been fabulous for me, you know.
Wow, and you've only been here just a short time.
Yeah, 20 years, just the other day,
just,
right?
Like, flies by.
That's amazing. Okay, well, let me double check. Hey, is our guy from...
he's trying to keep you longer, Richard.
I was trying to
keep
you longer.
But he's with his family. I think you took time out from Valentine's Day.
He's always got his family.
Thank you, Richard.
He has an opportunity to chat with you and me. We're only getting...
and talk about motorcycles.
Yeah, you just found two new friends in Southern California. So if you ever come this way again, I do local television, and I'll be more than happy to put your group on TV. You know, part of your route if you're out here, because nothing better than to promote what a wonderful, wonderful sport you got yourself into. And thank you very much for taking time out of your day. Go hug everybody that's frowning and just tell it was our fault.
Yeah. Thank you for your time. Thank you for taking care of my girls.
Yep.
And thank you for keeping those vintage motorcycles.
Put Sally on one of them motorcycles. Yeah. We want a video.
She's been on one.
We want a video.
All right, Brittany. All right, Dave. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Thank you for your time, Richard.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, guess what? It is Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
What a great interview. You did awesome, girl.
Thanks, Coach.
I am so proud of you. But this segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, and this interview is going to be just as exciting because Ron Myers just took over Mojave Valley. Is it Speedway or Raceway, Ron?
Oh, it's Raceway.
See, it's, you were right.
I think I've raced there. That's why I was saying it might be Raceway.
You're talking to the racing school teacher. She runs dwarf cars.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
they've been there before.
Yeah, we had a national out there in 2019. It was a very, very, very windy weekend. But
the wind seems to blow out there off a lot. Yeah.
So, longtime racer decided to become a promoter. So how's that working for you?
Well, the very first week was last weekend, February 6th,
wow.
And it was very overwhelming, actually. We ended up having 104 cars show up.
Oh, your first time, and wow, over 100
yeah.
races. Well, congratulations. That's one of those things where you can go, like, it was a good problem, you know, or a good...
Yeah, I know.
It's better than 23 people showing up.
Well, yeah. But,
so how'd it go? Are you just being hard on yourself, or...?
Well, it was very overwhelming, like I said. Me, my wife and myself and my brother, actually, and both of my kids helped out. Well, my oldest son races there at the Speedway.
Uh-huh.
And they're still recovering.
Actually, I didn't really fully recover until probably Tuesday.
Yeah, no, I believe it.
Well, if people don't realize how much work goes in to putting a race on like that. You know, they just think, a bunch of people just show up. You know, you tell them how fat, where to go, here's your pits.
And that many more people makes everything longer.
Now,
longer lines,
were
longer
you able?
Races.
Were you able to have any people in the stands?
Yes, we did. Actually, we're actually full capacity. Actually, we had to turn away like 150. Oh. You know, we had to turn away about 150.
Oh,
back
my God.
And, so, because of the COVID.
Yeah.
Conform with the rules. But it was a very good night of racing. We naturally got off to a very late start because we weren't anticipating that many cars to show up. So we didn't get started on time. And so it was a madhouse there for a little bit. I had a lot of great help behind me. So.
But, you know, those are not problems that will slow you down. These are problems you just need to adjust for. Because it sounds to me like your neighborhood is hungry.
Ready to race.
Yeah, they're ready to race. So hopefully you took heed of that.
Or maybe some other people can step up and help.
Well, you think?
Well, I have a pretty large family, so a lot of family members stepped in, and I definitely had a whole lot of help there from
That's
my family.
Awesome.
So, and I don't know, like I said, it was my very first event, so I didn't really know what to expect.
So what experience have you had promoting or running a racetrack?
Well, to tell you the truth, I just kind of got thrown into this deal in November. We decided to purchase a racetrack, and so we didn't have a whole lot of time to even prepare.
Hey, honey, look what I bought.
Exactly.
And kids.
Exactly.
Oh, my. This will be fun, man. We can go out and watch the races. Oh, my God.
So was it a lot of people in a few divisions, or was it wide or deep? How many divisions were there?
Well, our main division was actually the INCA modified division, the A mods, and we had 42 of them show up, which was the most.
Yeah,
that's
a lot right there.
Yeah, that was the most that track has ever had there at their racing facility.
Whoa.
And then we brought on actually the Northern Sport Mods, which is an IMCA sanctioned event also. We only had 15 of them.
But still
and
a solid division.
And we ran the street stocks, and then they run the stock cars, and they run the mini stocks, and we have the mini sports.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of divisions.
Yeah, we had six divisions, and they all were very well supported. Actually, I think the lowest count we had was in the stock car division, which I think we had nine for those, which normally last year they had like probably four or five of them show up. So we were...
So what do you think? What do you think? Why do you think there's just such a big change between last year and this year? You think COVID, because everybody's is cooped up?
I think that's part of it. And then me and my brother also have been involved in racing pretty much our whole life. So we used to run out at Ascot, and actually ran down there, which that track is not non-existent anymore. I don't know if you're aware of the Speedway 117 that used to be down there.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you stories.
Yeah, we ran down there in 79 and 80, and but mostly our home track was by Ascot here in Gardena. So. Yeah.
I have to tell you a cute 117 story. So I worked at a car dealership, and they were looking for somebody to drive the pace car. And it was a convertible, and they wanted the queen to sit on the up on the back. And I, you know, they asked me if I'd do it, and I said, well, of course. So as I went into turn one, sideways, kicking up a rooster tail, and the girls hanging on for dear life, that was my one and only opportunity to drive a pace car.
Yeah, first and last.
That was a very fast track down there. I actually enjoyed that place.
I know. Why do you think I hammered down? I told her to hang on. Here I go. But, oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know.
First and last.
Well, yeah, first and last. But at least I can say I did it. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So do you run every Saturday, or are you every other, like Barona on my local track?
We run every other Saturday, yes.
Okay, well, that gives you a little bit of a breather.
One we definitely needed.
Yeah. So you run in the same number of divisions, or might you modify starting there?
No, we're running the exact same events, same division, same everything. But you know, last week we had an event that we were paying more money because we were doing. It was an inaugural race for my parents, actually.
Oh.
And so we had a little bigger purse, so we had probably more cars than, you know, we started off with a bang pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, you know, and now, and I would assume that the response from the drivers was pretty positive. I mean, you'll know next Saturday.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you know, on the social media, you know, Facebook page and the web page, we've had all positive response, really. We have not had any negative at all, so. Even, you know, they pretty much understood it was their first event, and we can only get better as far as you know, getting things more on time. And, you know, we ran out of food and just things that just something that we would definitely be more prepared for the next event.
You didn't run out of beer, did you?
No, plenty of beer.
Okay. As long as you don't run out of beer, I think the fans can handle it. But when you run out of beer, whether they're drinking it or not, they just need to know it's there if they want one.
Exactly.
That is.
All in all, it was a great event. I thought it was, you know, I didn't get out of there till about 4:30 in the morning personally myself.
Holy mac. So who preps the track for you? Because, you know, like Paris Auto Speedway, the promoter does, Don Kazarian. At Barona, the owner, Todd Salazar, does. So do you do anything with the track, or are you just trying to keep everything else rolling?
We actually brought in a tractor that, you know, that they didn't have there at the facility before, so we could break it up. But actually, one of the racers' dad runs it, cut the track for us, Frank Russell Sr. And then my brother, Bill, he's out there trying to, he's watering, he's learning it. The track actually stayed together very, very well. I was very satisfied with the track.
Wow.
So it felt very good for that amount of cars that was on it.
So how often are you going to race this year?
Well, we're running.
No, you.
I'm talking about you.
I quit back in 2008, actually. And my son, Ronnie Jr.
Okay.
He runs out there. In fact, he drives my brother's car. He runs out. He's been running out there for the last 3 years.
Which division?
The modified division.
All right. Very good.
So I'm seeing here, correct me if I'm wrong, it's only $12 for the whole night if I want to be a spectator there?
Yeah. We're trying to keep the prices down because it's kind of like, I think it's kind of like a lower income area. And
that's
nice.
We have for the $12 and we have for the seniors $10 for the senior in the military, and we have
it's like $6 for children.
Yeah, from 6 to 12 and under that is free.
That's
awesome.
Well, and that's what a grassroots hometown track is all about. You know, because that's, I mean, it's, you can't spend $12, $24, $36, whatever, and get a night of an entertainment like you get at a racetrack, and it's so good that you took it over. Was it on the verge of closing if you hadn't picked it up?
I'm sorry, what?
I say, was it on the verge of shutting down? If you had
no, the gentleman we purchased it from was 77 years old.
Oh.
He ran it 27 years, and
okay,
he was just
tired.
He was ready to give it.
He
wanted to go spend time with his family.
But if he would have retired, there's a good chance if you didn't buy it, it could have went away.
Yeah, I think that he had a few people interested in purchasing the crack, too. Yeah, I don't think it was going to go away.
Because that's my fear. It's just like 117.
Yeah.
You know, once it's gone, it's gone. You'll never, for whatever reason, they never come back. We had an asphalt track here, and I'm sure you're aware of it, Cajon Speedway.
Yeah, I ran that track also,
And it started as a dirt, went to asphalt, and then when Steve Brucker was shot and killed, it went away. So
I didn't know that's what happened.
Oh, you didn't know either, Brittany? Oh yeah, it's a terrible.
I'm making faces. I didn't.
Yeah,
know
it's a terrible. It's a terrible story. Oh. Terrible story. All right, hey buddy, what's the website?
It's MojaveValleyRaceway.com.
All right.
Next race February 20th, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hey,
correct.
Anytime you'd like to call in, if you're doing a special event, or if you're doing a special race, just get a hold of Scotty, and we'll have Scott hook you up, and we'll get you back on, and we'll support you every way we can.
All right, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Take care and enjoy the rest of your Valentine's, and apologize to your wife and take her to dinner and tell her it wasn't all that bad.
Thank the family for all the help.
Yeah, thank the family.
All right, well, we'll do. Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there's a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Back to Rachel Radio. Don't look at me. That's Brent.
No. I'm trying to figure out why her legs went to sleep. Off-air conversation.
Hello, G-forces.
I know, but why more than any other racer?
And I left my notes at home, folks. I can't talk to you about the duel. I can't talk to you about the truck. I can't talk to you about Infinity. And all I can tell you about the NASCAR race is it's rained out and it's still delayed till weather. So
I can tell you, Larson's back.
Well. Woo! And I'm glad you bring that up.
Sponsors?
Oh, yeah. Somebody has to pay our bills. Certified Car Clinic. Hey, and Greg Rentis just took over ownership. Matt has decided to go another direction. So Greg is now the owner, operator of Certified Car Clinic. Best dyno guy I have ever seen on the planet. So if you need anything done on any of your vehicles, hot rods, classic cars, or your daily driver, Certified Car Clinic is where you need to be. Go to certifiedcarcare.com. Yet. So, you know, just Kyle Larson, and I have to hand it to him, man. They put him through an interview today, you know, prior to the Daytona 500.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
rehash last year?
Oh, yeah.
Right before a race?
Yeah.
That's nice. Put that in his head.
Well, it would look like it was a day or two earlier. I don't think it was actually the day of the race. And it was... The interviewee was a little harsh, but to me, those were probably questions that needed to be asked to give him a little bit of, you know, hey, because the first question out of the interviewee's mouth was, tell us why we should give you a second chance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really.
Because I'm human?
Just like you and I. Just like you and I. We're such hardcore interviewees. But. Haley Deegan is another one that is working her way up the ladder.
Yeah. Would you say she's local-ish or
she's
not?
From Temecula.
Yeah, so can we say she's local?
Yeah. I've interviewed her before. She's an absolute ball of fire. And her dad, Brian Deegan.
Yeah, I saw
some. World famous from, you know, doing everything crazy and still does. So, you know, the old... Acorn didn't fall too far.
Yeah,
from the
tree. I can't remember where I was watching my dad. Oh, anyway, I was watching an interview on her, and she was practicing behind the wheel on a go kart track,
but she's
asphalt,
good,
and following her dad. Yeah. And
but she's good.
Yeah, off season, she's still working.
She's still practicing. A lot of times, you know, the siblings don't do well. It's like, you know.
The siblings or the offspring?
Or the offspring, I guess you could say. Yeah, siblings, the relative. Well, so is the offspring. But when Richard Petty had Kyle Petty, Kyle Petty couldn't drive a nail. I'm sorry. He just was never could do it. Adam Petty, off the charts. Dale Earnhardt had Junior mediocre. Okay. And then the rest of the family are terrible. So it's just really strange. But Daddy, look at Elliot. Chase Elliott's doing extremely well. So it just depends.
It is so many variables that go into being a good racer.
Now it's even worse. So Haley did well. She got caught up in a situation at the end of the race. I mean, and this, you know, it's restrictor plate racing, or in her case, it wasn't restrictor plates. I mean, it was just, it's tough when you got that many vehicles out there. They're doing 190 plus.
I did not get to catch it. I was out of commission yesterday. So the weather held.
They
did all the laps.
The weather held for the duel. It had a little issue with the truck, and then Xfinity race went, and then of course today we're rain delayed.
I saw our other local got some air time, which was nice. Sheldon Creed was on KSI.
Well, we had another kid too, and I can't think of his first name, but his last name is Vargas. He's from the Hemet area up in there, and we've interviewed him on radio when Michelle was my co-host. And super nice guy, great kid. He's got great sponsorship, and he's got great charities that he works with. And he was running in 2023, but then after all the accidents, I think he finished 12th.
This is still the truck series we're talking about?
No, this is the Xfinity.
Oh, you did say that.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. No, I think
so
you said
now,
that.
So now he finished 12th. Because of everybody crashing out.
Yeah, I can relate. My first race ever in a car.
Yeah.
Ninth at Barona, which is tough. There were 20 of us, but it was only because
everybody crashed
11
out.
11 people got hauled off.
Hey, a win or a good position.
That's top 10. Hard.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. A good position is
I saw the rest. So I started watching today, and
first 15
just
laps.
That 14th lap or whatever, you know, that massive carnage. And so many people were going so many different directions. I didn't know where to look. Like, literally, I didn't.
Oh, I know.
I think I told you I off air, I hope the neighbors weren't worried for me. Because, like, oh, my gosh. And so then they do the replay. And I'm not trying to offend anyone here, but all I did was just focus on number 5. I just wanted to make sure Larson got out of it. And he barely did. But I did. I was like, now I'm just focusing on my guy.
And you know the history of the number 5 car? That was Mr. Hendrick's son, and was killed in the airplane accident. And
yes.
From that day forward, the 5 car.
It was no luck, right?
Never won.
Yeah.
And if anybody's going to turn that number 5 around, it'll be Kyle Larson. And so I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I was here on the studio when it went down.
Oh.
But I'm taping it, so we'll have to wait and
so
see.
So I spoiled it?
No. I've seen it.
Barely. He was barely ahead of it.
Yeah. Well, when these cars start, you know, the air is where the issue is.
Oh, it's just like a little tap and then bam.
Well, guys are banging into the back of
each
other.
Rubbing is racing.
I know.
At that speed, it becomes more catastrophic.
Yeah. And the amount of money that gets, I mean.
There was stuff everywhere on the.
Yeah, on the track.
Well, they red flagged it. Yeah.
They had to red flag it. In the Infinity race, all of Dale Jr.'s cars, all 4 of them, gone.
You mean like banged
wrecked.
Up?
All wrecked. Wrecked all 4. I mean, he had 4 Xfinity cars in there. You know how much money that is? And wadded all 4
I would
of them
love
up.
To honest, like sincerely know how he feels. Like money isn't an issue, so he's okay with it. Or time crunch. Is there any worry and what is it? Just at that level.
As long as the sponsors are still good, because they keep writing the checks.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was a bonus, and I don't know how you feel about him. And that's Clint Bowyer in the booth.
Is he commenting? Yeah, right. He's commentating, huh? Yeah.
Fantastic.
You like it?
I love it. He is a total hoot. Everybody's bagging on him. He's taking it extremely well.
Oh, good.
He had good commentator. He had good insight.
This is yesterday?
This was during the Xfinity race. I thought he did exceptional. Oh, no, wait. Was that the truck race? He might have done the truck because, no, it was the Xfinity race because Tony Stewart was also in the booth, which he did a really good. And Jamie Lee, who normally is a pit reporter, she got to call the Xfinity race in the booth.
Oh.
First female in the history of NASCAR to ever call the race. So,
well, how'd she do?
She did phenomenal.
I like to know merit.
I think she did
gender.
Awesome. She's always really good. She does her homework.
That's cool.
And I got to tell you, KUSI, I don't know if you caught it, but KUSI asked me to do a NASCAR preview.
Oh, yeah, you did. I caught the last part of it.
Yeah, well, the very first part of it, I said, here's a sport that has their Super Bowl on opening day. And I'm going to tell you, folks, they had a prayer.
I heard this part. This is when I tuned
in.
And
they did the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
So no controversy, no politics, nobody kneeled, no issues. They've got diversity, not only on the track, but in the pits. So there's nothing anybody can say. So if you want to back a sport that believes in us, the blue-collar workers, motorsports is it. I don't care if it's NASCAR, truck, I don't care. Camping World came back. It was Gander, which is owned by Camping World. So, like, what's the big deal? So Camping World came back to the truck series. The trucks are still boxes, flying down the freeway.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how you look at it. Sheldon actually did well towards the end. I think he got hit back a little bit, and then he rebounded, and I think he might have been in the top 10. Did you watch the Supercross last night?
I was totally out of commission yesterday.
Even at nighttime?
I was out of commission completely.
Supercross was good last night.
Where was that held?
It's in Florida. And I think it's the same. They're going to run there again next week, too. They seem to be running at their tracks like they'll run more than one time.
Isn't that what they're doing overseas with the motorcycles? GP.
GP.
They're doing 2 weekends before traveling, I guess.
Now, did you hear where NASCAR is going this year? They're going to COTA, which is a track in Texas, which is an F1 track. They're going to cover Bristol Motor Speedway with dirt. And they're going to run the NASCARs on dirt. They're going to do like 6 or 7 road courses. I mean, the NASCAR is totally spun the
changing
schedule.
It up.
And I think it's going to be good to build fan base.
Wait, NASCAR is going to run on dirt
at Bristol Motor Speedway. And they're just going to throw a bunch of dirt on top of the track. How much dirt would they have to put? Because you just can't put 2-3 inches. You got to put a couple feet.
Yeah, or else it'd just be asphalt real soon.
But you got to put a couple feet, right?
Yeah, or else, yeah.
Brittany, thank you for coming in today.
Yeah,
I know it was
nice seeing you again.
I know it was Valentine's Day, and Steve, had all these major plans to take you up in a hot air balloon.
Yeah, but you're right.
Instead, you hung with the old guy.
Hung with the old guy, but now we're going to go and have a nice dinner.
I think
back
you
porch.
Should. On the back porch?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that a restaurant?
No, on our back porch.
Our
it would be a great restaurant if that's the case.
I was going to say, I'm coming. All right, folks. Oh, you're having bacon?
No, we're having Korean barbecue.
No, man.
Bacon would probably make it better.
Yeah, bacon always makes it better.
I could throw that on a Korean barbecue.
All right. Hey, Gun Owners Radio, right around the corner, folks. Don't touch that dial. FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.